A father was trying to teach his son about giving, so he gave him a nickel and a quarter as they went into church one Sunday morning. And he told the boy that he could put either coin in the offering plate. It was his choice which one he wanted to put in. So the service went, the offering plate came by, the service ended, and after the service, the pastor asked the son, "Well, which coin did you put in?" And the little lad replied, "Well, right before the plate came by, I heard the pastor say that God loves a cheerful giver. And I figured I'd be a lot more cheerful if I only put in the nickel." Now, I don't think that's what Paul was getting at in this passage. I don't think that's what Paul meant when he said God loves a cheerful giver. Because of grace, the theme of our stewardship campaign. Because of grace, last week we saw a whole host of images relating to grace. We saw pictures of creation, pictures of people worshiping, pictures of people praying, pictures of people serving, and people laughing, and people fellowshipping. All to remind us of the grace that we receive each and every day. There's lots of reasons to give. In fact, Paul hits some of those in this passage. Talks about not giving out of compulsion or pressure. Sometimes there's pressure to give, especially if bills in the church aren't being paid, or if you see other people responding in a certain way to a special offering or to a project that's being supported. There can be pressure to give. Sometimes we just might give out of obedience. I mean, that's not a bad thing, right? God commands us to give, to support the poor and the needy, to support the work in biblical times, the work of the temple, the work of the church. Sometimes people even give because of status or pride. I've never had this happen to me, but I know clergy colleagues who providing leadership to the church, in doing something that a particular person or family wasn't happy with, had that person or family come up to them and remind them that they were one of the biggest givers in the church and that they had better not do what they were thinking about doing. Sometimes we give because we like the ministry of the church. We might even like the pastor. We're excited about what's happening in a church. We can even give so we reap benefits for ourselves. I remember one congregation that I heard about, the pastor struggled to get this church to give above and beyond their normal giving for special offerings, for missions. People would give, but it was always maybe just enough to say we gave something. And then one day it came to the church's attention that the bell tower was rotting away, and it was likely that if something wasn't done in the next few years, that one day they could come in and have the bell fall through the tower and onto their head. Nobody wants to walk into a church where you might have the bell tower collapse. The church raised $30,000 in 6 weeks because the people had a stake in the bell tower being fixed. Now, none of those are necessarily bad reasons for giving, but grace can be such a powerful motivator. Giving as a response to the grace that we have received. It's what we were hoping to think about last week. But giving because of grace doesn't necessarily mean grace is only affects our giving as a response. I think because of grace can also help us think a little more about what it means to give gracefully, to give in a way that reflects God's grace. Paul encourages the readers in Corinth to give generously. I heard a phrase many, many years ago in a sermon on grace that referred to God's grace as extravagant. Extravagant grace. I don't know of a word that captures generosity more than that word, extravagant. Grace that goes above and beyond. Grace that's just heaped out upon us. Grace that is truly generous. The passage talks about giving generously so we also may reap generously. When I first read that, it reeked of me a little bit of the idea of giving so that we can receive. Of giving so that we may get something back. Of giving so the bell tower doesn't fall in on us one day when we're singing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." But I'm not sure that's what Paul was really talking about. I think it's more likely that he was talking about giving generously as a way of giving, not necessarily so that we would receive something, but so that others may reap the benefits of our generosity. The collection that was being taken wasn't at all for the good of those who were giving in Corinth. Jerusalem was undergoing a time of intense poverty. And so this was an offering being taken for the Christians in Jerusalem. It was going to benefit the Christians in Corinth, not one bit. And yet Paul still tells them to give generously so that they might reap generously. It wasn't an investment plan. It wasn't giving so that they might be blessed in return. We've heard enough of that on TV, haven't we? What's called the prosperity gospel. If you give so much, God will return that to you. Take care of not only all your needs, but bless you so that you might be able to live in ways you never could have lived before giving. This wasn't an investment plan Paul was talking about, but rather what was going to be reaped generously when people sowed generously was praise and glory for God. Verse 12 in our passage says, "Your ministry of this service to God's people isn't only fully meeting their needs, but it is multiplying in many expressions of thanksgiving to God." When we give generously, what gets reaped generously is God's glory. What gets reaped generously is people giving thanks to God for the generosity of others. People giving thanks to God for needs being fully met. We saw many of the faces in our video this morning. Faces that were giving thanks in a whole bunch of different languages, some of the languages I didn't even recognize, but giving thanks because of the generosity of others, because people gave generously. I remember when I did some hurricane work down in Louisiana, sometimes we'd go out for dinner, sometimes we'd just stop for an ice cream. Ultimately, we'd be conversing with the waitress or the waiter or just with somebody that happened to see us as a group, and we definitely did not have Louisiana accents. And so they were wondering where we were from. And when we told them why we were there, that we had given of our time to come down and help rebuild their communities because of the damage inflicted upon the hurricane, there was one time in particular where the waitress told the manager, and the manager announced it to the restaurant, and the whole restaurant broke out in applause as an act of thanksgiving for our generosity. Now, they might have been directing that at us, but we kind of had our spiritual mirrors out and kind of deflected it to God, because it was really, they were giving praise to God because it was of God's grace to us that we were there generously giving to others. When we give generously, thanksgiving, praise and glory to God is what's ultimately reaped. But I think giving gracefully is also about giving freely. God gives grace freely. God gives grace not because God gets something in return. God gives grace to us not expecting, and maybe not expecting, us to respond. The ultimate act of grace, God sending His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, was done with no expectation or no assurance, should I say, that anybody would respond, that anybody would notice what God had done, that anybody would give back to God love and faith and praise because of what God had given to the world. Giving freely means giving without expecting something in return. But it also can mean giving without hesitation. giving because we want to give. Grace is freely given. It's not only a response, but it's also because of God's grace for us that we can give and trust in God enough to be able to give generously. What does it look like to give like God gives? It means giving without expecting back. It means giving in the true sense of the word grace, unmerited favor, giving to others because they have need, because there is a need, not because they deserve it. Sometimes we say things like, God gave his all for us, and we should give our all for God. And there are times and ways to explain that is true. But the widow's mite notwithstanding, God never asked us to give all of our natural or all of our financial resources to him. God gave to us, and yes, asked for something back, but he gives us grace whether we give anything back to God or not. Freely giving, however, doesn't mean it's free for us. God's grace did cost God something. I've heard it said, give till it hurts. And I've heard other people say, give till it feels good. I'm not sure either one of those can really capture maybe how we're supposed to feel with giving. Because it could hurt because you're giving too much. There is such a thing as giving too much. I remember one pastor when I was in my early 20s telling a story of a man who gave so generously, gave and gave and gave, was one of the biggest givers in the church, and when he died, they found out that his estate was in such debt because while he was giving to the church, he wasn't taking care of other responsibilities that ended up being a burden on his family. So you can give too much. But I might also say that giving freely doesn't mean just giving what we're free to give, but yes, it means giving until we feel it. Maybe that's what we talk about when we talk about sacrificial giving, right? If you're not feeling it, then maybe we aren't giving as freely or as sacrificially as we should be. And then there's finally the idea of giving gracefully, of giving like God gives, the idea of giving cheerfully. I looked up that word. What does it mean in that context to give cheerfully? It's interesting that term could almost be translated willingly, really meaning give as one inclined to give. Paul even talked in some translations, not under compulsion or not under pressure, the translation we heard from this morning talked about. Paul, in this passage, doesn't seem to be trying to convince those who have made up their mind not to give to give something. Paul seems to be trying to convince those who have decided to give something to be generous in their giving. He's encouraging those who wish to give freely, willingly, who have the inclination to help others, who have the inclination to provide out of what God has provided for them. He's encouraging them to do so generously. There's no strong arm tactics here. I've been in 5 or 6 pastoral charges, and almost every place I've been, there has been a pastor in the past that has strong armed people, maybe made them feel guilty into trying to give more. And almost every time when we start talking about stewardship, someone very cautiously tries to get me to talk about how I discuss stewardship. Maybe a little worried that here comes the guilt. Here comes the pressure. Here comes turning the screws down to try to get people to give more and more. Maybe I'm drawn to this passage because my style has always been to kind of take the same route Paul does, to encourage people to give, to encourage them to think about grace, to encourage them to give as God gives, generously and freely and cheerfully. One of the big questions I often hear in stewardship campaigns is, how much should I give? Well, I'm not even going to talk about that this year. What I do want us to talk about or think about this morning is the attitude with which we give. What does it mean for you, and that's something only you can answer, to give generously? What does it mean to give freely, not expecting anything in return? What would it mean for you to give cheerfully without compulsion or without hesitation or pressure? Those are the questions this passage really raises for us. These are the kinds of things Paul is trying to get us to think about. And so you'll be given the opportunity this morning. Those that wish, you are under no pressure to turn in an estimate of giving card. It is voluntary. You are under no pressure to give more than you gave last year. You're not on pressure to give if you haven't been giving. But this is an opportunity for all of us to respond to the grace that God has given us and to think, how can I give in ways that reflect the way God's given grace to me? We're going to be singing a song. I may speed us up so it's kind of upbeat. But it's called My Gratitude Now Accept, O God. This is an opportunity for us to show God gratitude, to put in an estimate of giving. It may change. Your financial situation may change, and you may need to call the church and say, I'm not going to be able to give what I estimated I was going to be able to give. You might also have something happen in your life that you can call the church and say, praise the Lord that something happened. I'm going to be able to give more than I estimated I was going to be able to give, and adjust your estimate upwards. But this is an opportunity for us to come. The basket's going to be up here. And it's an opportunity for you to give, to make this commitment before God. You can also bring your offering forward. And if you want to just bring your offering as a sign of a commitment to keep giving without making an estimate of giving card, you may do that. You may do that as well. But as we come, let us respond to the grace God has given us. Let us give generously. Let us give freely. Let us give cheerfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.